As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and it was, one of those days yesterday.
It's Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the McAfee Show. He loves Robert. Robert
sure
Sala
does.
Loves himself some Robert Sala.
I do love Robert.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Totally didn't want him gone.
I got that sense.
It's weird that he shoved him on Prime a few weeks ago against the Patriots. Like, that's just an odd coincidence. Gets fired a couple of weeks after that.
Any chance in the world, if Aaron Rodgers, quote, loved the head coach, they would fire him after 5 weeks?
One wouldn't think.
No. I would say no chance.
One would think he'd get a little bit more time instead of he steps off the plane on the way back from London and gets his ass fired.
Woody Johnson would be like, hey, Aaron, we think we're going to fire Robert Saleh.
No, don't.
It just so happens to be a week after Aaron Rodgers throws three picks and like people are kind of piling on Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's interesting that there's just the timing of a distraction.
Coach
there.
Is gone. Although,
that's
interesting
weird.
Update here.
Well, I was just going to say this. So in Rodgers' defense, part of the story behind Robert Saleh getting fired, and it's hour two, Jones and Keefe, here on WEEI. Alex Van Pelt speaking any moment. He might already be speaking. If he says anything interesting, we'll be sure to pass it along here, especially as it relates to Drake May,
Who's
speaking of pretending to like somebody, and I'm not so sure he does. That's my feeling on Van Pelt with May. But part of the reporting is that Robert Saleh wanted to take away the play calling from Nathaniel Hackett in New York, and then instead Saleh paid for it with his job. The announcement today from head coach Jeff Ulbrich is that Todd Downing will be the team's new play caller, meaning Nathaniel Hackett has lost play calling duties
How about
in New
that?
York.
So now I would say Alex Van Pelt, not the worst offensive coordinator in the division. Todd Downing's trash.
Is he?
Downing was with
Was he the DUI guy in Tennessee?
Oh, I don't know what off the field he was doing, but on the field
I think he was the DUI guy in Tennessee.
Was he really?
Yeah, I think so.
Coordinator in 21 and 22 for the Tennessee Titans. I think in 2022, Titans had one of the worst offenses in football.
Todd
and he
Downing
was in charge of that.
DUI arrest video came after Victory Beers. After they beat somebody.
I hear that.
Got it.
Yeah, November of 2022.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe he was a bit distracted that year, but his offense sucked out loud. So,
well, Titans offense in 23 was 30th in overall offense, 28th in points scored.
No, he wasn't there.
Half per game.
He wasn't there in 23.
Oh, Wikipedia is telling me he was fired January 9th, 2023.
It was 21 and 22, and then he joined the Jets last year as the passing game coordinator. He was also an offensive coordinator for 1 year with the Raiders in 2017. He's had sort of a weird career. He's been like a tight ends coach. He's been a quarterbacks coach. He's been a coordinator. He's been in the NFL, I think, since 05. So he's not even that old of a guy, but he's been in the league a really long time. But he's not a good offensive coordinator, and now he is in charge of calling the plays.
Okay. So you just said maybe Van Pelt isn't the worst play caller in the division.
He might not be.
Look, I don't know that the Patriots have the best quarterback situation going on in the AFC East. I wouldn't make that point. But we're five games in. Drake May still hasn't played a game. And the gap feels like it's closed significantly between where the Patriots are at quarterback and the rest of the division. Josh Allen has no, I still believe in Josh Allen as the second best quarterback in the NFL.
No, he's
Patrick
a stud,
Mahomes.
And I think by default would be the favorite for like the next 5 years because it's Josh Allen. But I think no Steph Diggs or even a player with that, he threw to him all the time and was just so productive with him. And even if you think Diggs is kind of sliding down his career, I don't know if Keon Coleman's that guy yet. Like,
no.
He has to develop that guy. Or even Shakir. Like, they don't have that guy yet. So they're putting so much on Allen. They keep losing guys defensively, too. Like, that's the best team in the division, probably, but also not as good as we thought they were going to be.
That's
if you
my
looked
only
at them
point.
3 years ago, I think you expected them to be on that same level with the Chiefs. I don't think they are.
After Mahomes, who would I take?
Probably Allen. Yeah.
So maybe Lamar, like, I don't know. Like, maybe Burrow, but, like, he's in that group, right?
LaMarvelous.
Yeah. Two-time MVP.
Yeah, true.
Two whole playoff wins in his career.
Well.
So that's probably who I'd start with. But. He hasn't had the receivers. The offense doesn't look as good. He looked terrible last week. So he's just not quite what he looked like even a few weeks ago when he lit it up on Monday Night Football. So drop him down a half step. Tua, the concussions, which were an issue 2 years ago. He was healthy last year. Already now you're looking at whether or not he has a long-term career in the NFL. He's expected to be back this year, but who knows? And who knows how he'll look when he comes back. Aaron Rodgers looked phenomenal against the Patriots on Thursday Night Football when he was shoving his head coach, now that's former head coach, Robert Saleh, who he loves.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he hasn't looked great. They're going to have to reset at quarterback sometime soon. Miami probably has to take a long-term evaluation, despite paying Tua, at what they're going to do at quarterback. The gap has shrunk by default without Drake May even playing. You should feel better about Drake May out there than Jacoby Brissett. Can you make a case the Patriots are in the second best spot in the division at quarterback after the Bills and Josh Allen?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on just how good Drake May is, but I think just on paper, on potential, they are. And I think this isn't even a commentary that the Patriots are in this great shape or like lookout league. It's more Miami and New York have come crashing down to your level. That's how I view it, because New York, whether Aaron Rodgers is good or bad, and right now it looks like more bad, they're still going to be QB fishing in the offseason and head coach fishing.
Yep.
So next year, they might have a new head coach, new quarterback. You know how that can go. You can spin the wheel. They can either be great, they can be horrible, somewhere in between. But it's the two most important positions, and there's a great deal of uncertainty there. Meanwhile, Miami has the wide receivers, has who I think is a good play caller, but anybody other than Tua looks awful. And even Tua in his game and a half didn't look great.
No.
But that was whatever. So if Miami's offense is a mess, that should be their calling card. So now what looked like a really good division, what looked like, oh my God, Patriots looking way up on three teams, now it's Josh Allen taking a team that's not as nasty as a lot of us thought was going to be, and then two other teams that have losing records right now and might be at risk of having losing records for the whole season.
Yeah, I would just say what look like very steady quarterback situations are not.
No, definitely not.
And so, you know, you feel good about Buffalo. They have to improve what's around Josh Allen and maybe the play calling there. Not to make excuses for Josh Allen, but you feel like that's still the top of the division and the class of the division. But the other two?
Tyler Snoop Huntley right now is the starter for Miami. And then whoever ends up replacing Aaron Rodgers.
And the Jets feel like a real mess.
What, they're not only are they a mess, but
and
they're
no,
not going to be
no answer long term.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be bad enough to get whoever you think it is. Like, I don't like Carson Beck, but just play it out. Like, one of the Quinn Ewers, one of those guys.
They're not going to draft in the top five like the Patriots did.
Yeah, so then they're going to be looking around for the Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, like that type of guy that leaps.
So we'll still take your thoughts on your expectations for Drake May in his first start. And where the Patriots fit in that hierarchy in the division, how they may be closer to Super Bowl contenders than you think. Case in point, the team on the other side of the field this weekend, C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. I'm looking over some of what Alex Van Pelt is saying right now.
He's been talking
for the last, 10 minutes or so.
All right.
Alex Van Pelt said, obviously with a quarterback change, you change a little bit in your approach. Is that enough, Keith? Do we want a little bit of a change in his approach?
Just a little bit. Just a skosh.
I would like a big change in his approach. Van Pelt, and I'm reading from Phil Perry here, said the decision to go with May came now. Obviously, we're not where we want to be offensively, especially in the pass game. That's interesting because he said last week
he loved it after the Niners game. He thought Brissett was actually trending in the right direction.
It was an odd question, as I referred to it last week, and now he's acknowledging that. Okay. Obviously, we're not where we want to be offensively.
Okay. No, this guy terrifies me. I mean, very much Drake May's future is in his hands. And, you know, to your point, really good players have overcome subpar coordinators in the past. Mm-hmm. But, man, you'd like to give him every advantage you can. Like, if you don't have a great offensive line and you don't have a great wide receiver room, at least have the guy that you have confidence in to draw up a few, like, can't-miss plays.
Yeah.
And I just don't think the Patriots have that.
That's an odd question.
It is. Here's what Van Pelt said about practice yesterday. Drake May had a practice as QB1 yesterday.
Yes.
He said the Patriots opened with a blitz period at yesterday's practice.
Texans are probably going to blitz a lot.
Drake May went 6 for 6.
Oh, can't do better than that.
It's pretty good.
Can't do better than that.
It says six for six with
negative 6 yards.
That's a good point.
Did not specify the yards.
100% completion percentage.
Yeah, no, I love
then
that.
I don't get this. I might need to hear some context on this.
Okay.
Van Pelt said some of his play calls against the Jets in week 3 still haunt him. Does that mean when May was out there on that final drive, is that what he's talking about?
I would assume so.
It haunts him?
Haunts him. Keeps him up at night. A haunting in Foxborough.
Okay, well,
that's a little
bit of self-awareness from Van Pelt.
There you go.
Okay, good.
Well, maybe he's got, yeah, so maybe he also, if we are given the opportunity for Drake May to learn from mistakes, can Alex Van Pelt also learn? Is that possible? Can you teach an old man new tricks?
Well, I was going to say, is it possible? Sure, it's possible. Do I feel great about it?
No.
No, I do not.
No, I don't.
The man's been in the league for a long time. I'm guessing he kind of is what Drake May just got here.
Yeah.
Not just to New England, but to the NFL.
Right.
Van Pelt's kind of been here a while.
So a little bit.
My guess is there won't be changes, but sure, it's possible.
Mm.
And, you know, if Drake May is what we hope he is, Drake May can mask a lot of that. So, okay, his play calling still haunts him. And they threw a blitz period at Drake May yesterday in practice, and he went 6-for-6.
Yeah.
In his decision-making. I'm not quite sure what that qualifier means.
Huh.
But that's some of the news coming out of Alex Van Pelt and his press availability today. We'll get to your thoughts, 617-779-7937. Billy Lanny has all the latest here in trending. And when we come back, I want to get to Bill Belichick, now in the media, as we
sure
well know.
Sure is. Everywhere you turn.
Applying for jobs, making a case for jobs next year in the league. Maybe the Jets are one of those jobs. Maybe
could
he's
be
in the AFC East with the Patriots. We discussed that all week long. I do like him getting on his high horse and lecturing people about trades.
Yeah, yeah, because he won all his.
Especially some of the trades that Bill Belichick made in recent years here in New England.
Devontae Adams wants to get traded. That's going to be a big story. And I have a feeling that, you know, as we tape this, by the end of this week, he probably will get traded.
Not for a second-round pick, which supposedly is what they're asking for.
That's ridiculous.
I don't see how anybody's going to give up a second-round pick for him. You'd have to feel like this guy is going to, Adams is going to take us to the promised land, and he's going to get us over the hump this year because he's also got a big salary.
Bill Belichick on Underdog. With Mike Lombardi and Matt Patricia. You didn't hear from Patricia there.
No, I'm sure he agreed with Bill. This makes me, like, want to scream into a pillow.
Go for it.
So he's like, not for a second-round pick for Devontae Adams.
Second
one of the greatest receivers
pick
of all time, and I still think he's a top 10 receiver in the league. Maybe a top 5 pick.
You got to pay him for the rest of this year and
pay
give
him
up a second-round pick.
You can find the money, Bill. You've even said that. We've all latched on it because you said that. But
yeah,
suggesting that it's insane to ask for a second-round pick for Devontae Adams when Bill Belichick in 2019 traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu was worth a second-round pick to Bill Belichick. That is insane. Mohamed Sanu was never good. There wasn't like, wow, he was still good. No, he was never good. He was never a good receiver. Devontae Adams is more productive in 4 games than Mohamed Sanu would be for an entire season. He thought that that was the answer. Gave up a second-round pick. I think it ended up being like J.K. Dobbins. Not that it really matters. But he did that for Mohamed Sanu. He's also swung and missed on plenty of other trades. But that him still not valuing a wide receiver is insane. Like, haven't you learned quarterback, wide receiver are very important in today's NFL? He traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And he traded a second-rounder for Sanu, and he's like, oh, the Raiders aren't going to get a 2 for Devontae Adams. Like, why in the hell not? They might not, but, like, certainly you ask for
it. Okay, but, like, this is where I think you get into this tricky area. And you guys can jump in, 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Bill Belichick in the media. Does it help? Does it hurt? Possible destinations for Bill, along with everything else we've talked about. Drake May, your expectations for his first start statistically, offensively, what do the Patriots get? Do they have any chance against the Houston Texans? Who, by the way, a year from now, you hope could be the Patriots, turned it around, our free agent destination and a Super Bowl contender in 1 year because they have the guy under center. Again, 617-779-7937. I don't think this kind of stuff hurts because I think, or helps rather.
I was going to say.
It hurts him. It doesn't help.
Yeah.
Because if the owners even think about it for 1 second, it's just Bill doing his job in the media now saying, I wouldn't give up a second-round pick for this guy. But if they just think about it for 1 second, but you gave up a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu?
Sure did.
And
5 years ago.
You've used all these second-round picks. And not to say that Bill never hit on second-round picks. Like Matt Light, Rob Gronkowski, Deion Branch. I mean, Bill hit on maybe even more recently, Keon White.
Yeah.
Bill hit on plenty of second-round picks, but you also had Tyquan Thornton.
Oh, please. I mean,
you
the draft
also had Jawan Williams, Duke Dawson, Cyrus Jones.
Rozai Dowling. It was really corners
Rozai
in the second
Dowling,
round. Yeah, couldn't do corners.
Jordan Richards.
Jeez.
Like, you know, like, there were also a million misses you had in the second round. And now, to potentially put your team over the top, and I know, I guess he gave that qualifier. He said, unless they're going to take you to the promised land.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think a lot of the teams in the mix, that's what they're hoping. Like
so
the,
I think
the,
what they
the
need
Jets,
though,
not the Saints necessarily,
no,
but the Jets, the Bills are supposedly on the periphery.
Commanders.
You know, if they would, Commanders are a great one. If the Raiders would ever make the trade to the Chiefs, like, that is what he could be. He could be the missing piece there. And Bill's talking about the salary, and Bill's talking about the acquisition cost when he's given up second-round picks for way worse receivers, and he's used second-round picks on way worse players.
Well, I think this probably confirms what a lot of teams were thinking when he was available this past season is there any way you'll just coach? Can we just get you to coach? We don't want you to build the roster because you had a great roster, but really you had Tom Brady. And then you were able to make moves here and there. Like every GM, hit on some picks, miss on some picks. Unfortunately, your first-round picks over recent years have been atrocious, so that stands out more. You know, oh, well, we hit this guy in the sixth. It's like, yeah, but you swung and missed on all these firsts. Like, that's pretty significant. So even a team like the Falcons, as bad a shape as they were in, they're looking at it like, well, we just want you to coach. And then even that, we're not really sure. So I think it'll be, if he gets offers this offseason, and I think that he will, but I bet a big part of it will be teams that are already set and something like trading for Devontae Adams or trading for that next receiver who's available. Leave it to the GM. Leave it to the, like, you're just going to, all we want you to do is improve our coaching, like game day coaching, our defense specifically. We're not looking for you to draft players. We're not looking for you to make trades either.
Yeah, look, that's a fair point. Like, another way it could hurt him is owners look at it and go, oh, Bill wouldn't trade for a stud wide receiver?
Yeah.
Maybe the game has passed him by. 37937. That's a good point. Sanu wasn't Bill making the trade. That was Brady.
So I'd heard that as far as Sanu over Emmanuel Sanders, who also got dealt. But Emmanuel Sanders, I feel like, went for a third.
Yeah.
Which might have been high for him, too. But maybe Mohamed Sanu was told. So this is the other part that I can't stand. Did Belichick have full say or
thank
no?
You.
Like
well,
no say.
So, right,
so now we're picking
you.
And choosing on like what he had say over.
Okay, but let's play it out because that was out of character for Bill. If we're being fair to Bill,
you got
to
do
that. Was
out of
character
though.
For Bill?
Wasn't Brady pushing for Mohamed Sanu?
Well, that's what we're
that's
saying.
That's what the college or the Texas said.
Like hard for it. So
okay,
he's like, fine.
But then, like, it doesn't mean you have to do it too.
Okay,
just like the Garoppolo thing.
But this would be my point
more for Garoppolo.
Okay, this would be my point. Okay, fine. So Brady wanted him, and Bill maybe didn't. So Robert Kraft probably got in the middle of that, and Robert Kraft was probably the one who okayed that trade. And, like, don't tell me Robert Kraft doesn't get involved in football decisions. And then, if we're acknowledging Robert Kraft gets involved in football decisions, don't tell me he had no say in who's starting this weekend with Drake May.
It drives me nuts.
So, like, if you want to play that game where Bill didn't have full autonomy than other people did, who was Robert Kraft listening to or who was Brady talking to boss him around? Bill didn't listen to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So it was probably Robert Kraft, and Kraft gets involved in football decisions. So if you want to open up that Pandora's box, let's go there and talk about who's in charge of making the call this weekend.
That drove me nuts just all the way going back to Parcells when he had his famous line about, like, let me shop for the groceries thing. And it's like, all right, so you didn't pick Terry Glenn, so do you get credit for Teddy Bruschi?
Right.
Like, did you pick him?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, I picked the defensive guys. I picked. I was like, all right, well, then I don't know what the hell is up and what's down at this point. But
also, Glenn worked out. So, like, for all your,
no, Glenn was
all
a good player.
Your kicking and screaming,
right,
at least early on in
he
his
was.
Career, Glenn worked out over Cedric Jones or whoever he wanted to draft.
Who was it?
It was like some D-lineman.
It was one of those guys. I forget who it was. James Ferrier? It was a guy like that. Anyway.
So you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders. He was a third and a fourth for Emmanuel Sanders and a fifth.
Yeah, so I would just call that a third.
So basically they moved down.
Yeah, they swapped fourth and fifth, and then they got a third. And he was a more productive player. He was a better player anyway. And then he was better after the trade. But Mohamed Sanu, like I'm telling you, he was never good, ever. For the Patriots, he played in 8 games and had 200 yards. 8 games, 200 yards. I think he had some big drops.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. I think there were also like some killer plays mixed in there as well. Okay, so Cedric Jones went 2 picks before Terry Glenn.
All right, so what
he was sandwiched right in between 2 running backs, Lawrence Phillips and Timbi Akabatuka.
Dude, Lawrence Phillips. What a college player.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Him and Tommy Frazier and Joel Makavica in the backfield.
Not a great guy.
No. Is he with us?
Oh, I don't know.
No, he is sadly not.
He's with Gil Brandt.
Lawrence Phillips is, in the sky.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Sixth pick.
I don't remember who he was with.
You
I
look
thought
at
it was
the 96 draft.
Yeah, I thought it was Cedric Jones, but it was, Cedric Jones wasn't on the board. So I don't remember who Bill Parcells was kicking and screaming.
He wanted
about.
Ray Lewis.
No, that was.
That's what he'd have you believe now.
No, that was Bill who had him drafted in
Well, Bill created that Ravens
with
dynasty.
The Browns. Yeah, well, no. Well, he eventually won that Super Bowl in 2000, and he totally was way better than you actually remember in Cleveland and all these things.
Uh-huh.
No, so that opens up a whole other thing when it comes to who made the call. But largely, I don't think stuff like this helps Bill Belichick. And it also sets up a weird dynamic. Let's say Bill's in the mix in New York and the Jets trade for him. Now Bill's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I never would have given up a second-round pick for Devontae Adams. And
although
now,
he can hedge it. If they give up a 3 for him, he'd be like, that's a good deal. That was my kind of deal.
Or like the Bills do it.
Now you got to pay him.
He replaces Sean McDermott in Buffalo. Sets up a potential weird dynamic.
If he is on a contending team with a good roster, do you think they give him roster control? I say no. I think if it's a desperate team.
I don't think Bill takes it if he doesn't have roster control.
So then he ends up in
Jacksonville.
Right.
Like that, like this is why I think This is why I think bum ass teams like Jacksonville might be in play for Bill.
But what's more
important
to Bill? Winning another Super Bowl or just
control.
Ugh.
That's what I think.
Yeah, you might be right.
Now look, I say that and he didn't get the Falcons job. And part of it was the Falcons weren't going to give him that job, so were they not going to offer it? Did Bill not want it? I think Bill wanted it. So maybe that blows up my point.
I
think Bill wants control and I think Bill wants money.
Cash. Yeah. Everybody wants cash. I maybe I'm naive. Perhaps it's my naivete, Jones. I think he wants the coaching record or the wins record, and I think he wants to win a Super Bowl to kind of stick it to Robert.
Okay, but don't,
and also sort of like get back in the territory of Tom Brady.
But don't you think Bill thinks he can do that anywhere?
I think
at least the wins record. Maybe not the contending for a Super Bowl, but like at least the Bill. I think
Cam,
Bill.
But like he lived it for the Cam Newton, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi era. Like, does. Can't he be like a little bit humbled by that?
No. You know how Bill probably looks at it?
Maybe he's not humbled.
No, you know how Bill probably looks at it? Bill's like, I won, what did he win with Cam? 8 games? I won 8 games with Cam Newton.
Sheesh.
I won 10 with Mac. You know, like that.
But then you didn't.
Okay, but he probably looks at it as the quarterback MF'd me and like that screwed everything up. And like, you know, like that's probably how he looks at it.
Post Brady, they went 7-10-8-4.
Yeah. He probably, I'm not saying this is rational. But if I could get inside Bill's head, I bet he looks at it and goes, I won 8 games with Cam Newton. I won 10 games with Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I'm Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I bet he looks at himself.
But if he...
I could win 9 in Jacksonville. I bet that's how he looks at himself.
But if he comes back... Yeah, but if you win 9 in Jacksonville, what does that get you?
Well, in 2 years, that gets you the wins record.
If you so you get the wins record at least, but like you're not...
That's what I'm saying. Now, I don't know that he thinks he can win a Super Bowl anywhere, but I think he can get the win. I think in his mind,
he can go
get the wins record anywhere.
I actually agree with him. I think he can. Like, I thought Atlanta... I was like, why would you want to go to Atlanta? But I was like, well... 2 years, 2.5 years, you get the wins record. And they leave you alone, or so I thought.
Yeah.
But actually, Arthur Blank listened to the rest of the staff there. But I think, so last year there were 8 openings, 7 outside of the Patriots, and he got 1 interview?
1 sniff, yep.
1
And he didn't,
whiff.
If you believe.
Actually got a second interview with them. Because remember in between, you're like, oh, they're just going to give him the job.
1 team gave him the interview, you're right. It was
Atlanta.
Multiple interviews, 1 on Arthur Blank's boat.
Yeah.
But if you believe, I think it was Van Natta and Wickersham, if you believe their reporting.
No, those guys are liars.
Bill didn't finish in the top 3 there.
You mean Wickersham?
Wickerscam,
right. It is Wickersham.
Yeah.
It's just his name.
You're Wickersham? No,
you're just emphasizing the last part of his actual name. That's not really anything.
His name is Wickersham.
Correct. Yeah, got him. Not really his given name. I think the Jets interview him, at the very least. That's the one opening we feel like is for sure going to be there at the end of the year. We'll see. I'm still holding out for Dallas and Philly, maybe, depending on how things go. Philly feels like teetering. They were talking about teetering on a mutiny here. 2-2 off the bye week. They already canned both coordinators from last year to kind of save Sirianni. But this is Sirianni's last stand.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that could be gone.
Yeah, he might not make it through the year. Sirianni, I don't think McCarthy will get fired in season because Jerry doesn't do that. Although,
no.
Woody Johnson had also never fired a coach in season. He just did it 5 weeks in.
Yep.
But I don't think Jerry would fire McCarthy, and the Cowboys feel like they're in a slightly better spot than Philly. Sirianni might not make it through the year.
No, he might not. Belichick gets more or over under 1.5 interviews next year.
Under.
Ooh, see, I'll take the over.
I'm not sure.
Because there'll be 8 openings again. They're always, every year there's like 5, 6,
yeah.
7, 8.
I just.
9, 10.
I don't know. Maybe the one. Maybe. I'll take under on 1.5. By the way, speaking of Cam Newton.
Yes.
You see, Cam Newton is going to be doing First Take. He's going to be working for ESPN. Did you see this?
I think he'll be great. He was good. Like, when he was here, he did the WEI interview with the Greg Hill show.
Did you ever interview him? Did you ever sit in an interview him at any point?
You know what?
I've never interviewed him.
I think maybe I was in for Greg one day and we had him on. But, yeah, he was good. That was, you know, the on-field was not. And then I feel like everybody was like, oh, he sucks and he always sucks. It's like, no, he was great. Like, he was great for a window. Well, he was the MVP of the league. No.
This, I agree with you 1,000%.
People turned on him and it was like, that's his career?
I don't think anybody was more excited than when they signed Cam Newton off the scrap heap that
Same.
Summer.
Because
I loved Cam Newton in Carolina. And I think Cam Newton was a great, an elite quarterback.
He was 15-1, went to the Super Bowl and won an MVP. Right. Like, that's pretty great.
And if elite is too strong for you, then the next tier below, whatever that is.
It was an elite season.
Yeah. I loved Cam Newton, and I loved how he played. I like that style of quarterback. And so I was really excited when he got here. He was just cooked. He was broken down by – that's not what he was in Carolina.
No.
He was a shell of himself. I also think he'll be great in the media.
Oh, yeah, he's great. And he'll be wearing some wild outfits, I'm sure. And he's on the Stephen A. Smith show, right?
He's on First Take on Friday. I don't know what else he's doing. I'd imagine he's doing
–
Get Up, First. I'd imagine he's doing all those shows.
But he'd be good for both NFL and college football. I mean, the guy's a college football legend. Like, you can't take that away from him. I also love the fact that he stuck it to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, when he left Florida, he's like, yeah, I want you to be a tight end. He's like, oh, be a tight end, or I can win the Heisman and win a national title in your conference. So I love that part of it. But, no, he's a great personality. Did you see the stuff when he was at Colorado this past week?
No.
And he was, like, going up. So there's two different videos.
At Colorado, like, for I thought the Buffaloes were off this week.
Oh, so maybe it was two weekends ago. He was at the Buffs game.
Yeah.
And he was on the field with Travis Hunter, and Travis Hunter was just like, get away from me. But then there was, like, another video where they were actually, like, hugging.
I see.
But then he, like, went up to Shedeur Sanders while Sanders was trying to warm up, and Sanders, like, made a comment about his clothes. He's like, man, you're on that weird bleep. And he's just like trying to like hug him and talk to him. And they're like, really not that interested in
having it.
And you're like, all right, we gotta get going here.
Interesting. No, I,
that's a good hire though.
I remember, I liked Cam Newton at the ESPYs, I think it was, talking about Bill and his dating choices.
Yes.
I like that.
That's good.
So if he's willing to go there, he's willing to go places in the media.
That's true.
I think he'll be pretty good. Billy, I know you haven't been keeping up with, the Aaron Hernandez FX.
Oh my God!
Show?
The clips though keep coming out.
Okay, well, get to those. Was Cam Newton portrayed on that show when they were all at Florida? I thought you were telling me Cam Newton was he portrayed on that show at Florida? Cam?
Yeah, they showed him.
They did.
Yeah, yeah. So there was like one scene where they're like in the dorm, and there was like dude, cops or whatever, and they show Newton like chucking a laptop out of a window, and then they show him. You know, the coach meets with him and tells him he's cut.
Right. So like,
wait, why would that even be in the movie the show?
Is the idea that
guys are getting in trouble and
everybody else is getting in trouble questionable stuff, and Aaron Hernandez is getting away with murder, but getting away with like significant crimes, fights and things like this, and he's not getting in
trouble. This is how we tell you what Cam Newton did without getting into what Cam Newton did.
How would say,
so somebody comes to the door and he's literally sitting at a desk next to a window and like grabs it and chucks it out the window.
Cam Newton catching strays in the middle of an Aaron Hernandez show. You're like, oh, it's like a murder show. And it's like, here's Cam Newton, a mistake he made when he was 19 years old with laptops. Like, that's in the show.
Right.
We need that in the show.
Yeah, no, make sure that's in there.
That's insane. No, but the clips are hilarious.
Okay. The clips now that I've seen. We talked about the Bob Kraft one.
Bob Kraft is probably still the best.
He's orange.
Yeah.
Did you see the one where Bill is rocking out to Bon Jovi?
Yep. He's singing it in his office, putting the whistle around it. Like, what the hell?
And then, so he's rocking it. He's like, he pops in like the Bon Jovi CD.
He's crushing it.
Yeah.
You think that actually happens?
I would hope not.
Yeah.
But like, you know, they have whoever the Nancy Meyer representative is like right outside Bill's office.
Like,
and he's just like cranking tunes in there. And she's like, oh, here's Bill
again. Here's Bill.
Listening to his Bon Jovi.
Do you think Bill would even know how to turn on the music?
Good point.
I don't even know.
It's a good point.
The needle on the record.
He gets
the old vinyl.
He calls
here.
In.
You
he,
crank up the front of the record player.
He calls
That's
him.
True.
He calls him Bears. He's like, Bears, play my Bon Jovi for me. No, the other clip is the Gronk one that everybody's been talking about.
That one just came out too. Yeah, that was good. I mean, I think it's all overshadowing the fact that the Aaron Hernandez actor is atrocious. Like, what a horrible choice for Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, like, it
doesn't
really
look like him.
At least the Gronk guy and the Bill guy, I think both get, like, some of the mannerisms down if they don't look like Bill and they don't look like Gronk. Some of the mannerisms are there.
They're trying.
Yeah. Like, the Gronk guy at least has, like, the Gronk laugh down.
So,
like, clearly he got the job.
Yeah.
He was cast on being able to impersonate the Gronk laugh.
So, I think Fitzy and Hart interviewed the guy who
the
played
Bill guy,
Belichick.
Right? Yeah.
I think it's on Six Rings now if you're into that.
Okay.
I don't know if they... I'm sure they were polite to the guy.
Yeah.
You know.
I think...
You think he's doing a good job?
Well, I think, again, like, some of the facial expressions and stuff, I think he's actually pulling off.
Yeah, because I mean, in the script, they're like, hey, now you're going to rock out to Bon Jovi. He kind of has to
do What are you supposed to do with that? Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Right. This is the role I was given.
So you're telling me that's on the Odyssey app. You can go check that out.
Yeah, of course
Six
I am.
Rings. Go check that out.
Exactly
okay.
what I'm saying.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone. You can go check out the interview with the Bill actor there on the Aaron Hernandez. No, but Hernandez is horrifically cast. Like, Brady waltzes through the locker room in that clip, and he looks like he's got to be Billy Zedman. He looks like he's like 5'10". he's like stocky, and like it's not even like facially it doesn't look like him. Yeah. Just like you couldn't find some handsome guy who's 6'5" just to waltz through the locker room. You can't find that.
This is an FX show. Yeah, like, they've had some good production value. This isn't like a Tubi. All due respect to Tubi, which I love and
Tubi
respect.
Catching strays like Cam
Newton. I love Tubi, but this seems more like a Tubi production.
Okay,
there it's a free service.
What was the service that lasted like 9 months? It was like they had all this money. It was like 9 months. It was it wasn't Tubi.
Well, it's not Pluto. Pluto's still crushing it.
Pluto's going strong.
Pluto's doing nice.
What was that? What was it? It was canceled after like 9 months, and they had like all these big acts, and they spent all this money, and people were like, "I don't want to watch it." It might not even been
Quibi.
Quibi. That is
Quibi!
What it was.
Quibi.
Griff. Oh, Quibi. Griff popped his head.
Nice
into
Griff. Griff. From the
shout out, Griff.
Griff.
Quibi.
Look at that.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was
He's
thinking
like,
of.
Quibi. He's like, I sunk a lot of money into Quibi stock. I'll never forget those bastards.
Griff's like, that's why I work here.
I spent all that
money on Quibi. Yeah, no, it looks like a Quibi production is what it looks like.
Quibi.
Yeah.
Wasn't the thing with Quibi all their shows were like five minutes?
Yeah.
It was like the Vine of streaming services.
That's a good idea.
Five-minute shows? Yeah.
You know what you want?
It was sold to Roku.
You know what you
for
want?
For less than $100 million. People, still seems like a win for them.
You know what you want? People to be done with your content real quick. That's what advertisers love.
So they raised $1.75 billion from investors.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
And then they sold it for under $100 million.
It might 9 months. I might be way exaggerating.
Quibi founded in 2018.
Yeah, but they weren't
dissolved in 2020. Oh,
yeah,
but they weren't up
live
and
right away. No, it's like
they launched in April of 2020, and then I think they closed up shop December of 2020.
Yeah, not great. 2020, rough year.
COVID.
Yeah, no one was in their house watching
stuff.
It was
the camera.
Nobody at home was sitting there
streaming
watching.
Streaming services were barely any success.
Notoriously, they did terrible in the middle of COVID. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on all this. We'll get to misleading. What were they discussing today? On the Greg Hill Show, they had Bill O'Brien on, and he gave some thoughts on Drake May because he did so well with the Patriots offense last year. Let's get to that next.
It's time for misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We're going to get back into your expectations for Drake May and his opening start at high noon. I know Bill O'Brien had some thoughts on that on the Greg Hill Show today. It's misleading here on Jones and Keefe. One update quickly.
Yes.
And we all expected it. Jim Montgomery did confirm today Jeremy Swayman's going to get the start for the Bruins.
Right. The $8.25 million man.
He's going to be out. One game of Corpy was enough.
That's not bad, though. Yeah, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
I've seen enough of Corpy. So we get Swayman. So all of that long, dragged out, you know, negotiation where there's a lot of hurt feelings, there are a couple of temper tantrums, there was, podcast appearances, there were statements from the agent, there's all kinds of stuff. He missed one game, and he's still probably going to hit that 55 mark that we expected.
Yeah. So, you know, how much rust will there be? How will he look, et cetera, et cetera? We can get to all that later on in the program. WEEI Afternoons, by the way, is going to talk to Andrew Raycroft, the Razor,
today
at 4:30. So you can stay tuned for that. Bruins coverage all day long here on WEEI. This morning on the Greg Hill Show, Bill O'Brien, Boston College head coach, made his weekly appearance. And, well, he was asked about how you manage a young quarterback. He coached Deshaun Watson in Houston. So how you bring along and manage a young quarterback, here's what he had to say.
I would say the first thing is understanding the operation, right? Like, you know, everything from the play call to the mic point, the setting of the run blocking, the setting of the protections, the you know keeping it simple, less plays. I wouldn't have 150 plays on the call sheet, I can tell you that. Less plays, plays that he really likes. You know, I was always into, you know, making sure during the week that the quarterback understood, hey, this is what we're going to do, and do you like these plays? You know, are you comfortable with these plays, and do you see them the right way? And so I think, you know, Drake May is obviously an extremely talented guy. He's drafted at number 3, and it's at a very exciting time for the Patriots, and so you got to try to keep it simple for him and talk to him about moving the chains and not trying to, you know, win the game in one drive.
Okay, so I think that last point is probably a good message to hammer home throughout the week and specifically on Sunday. I think that's something you probably need to keep doing. Yeah, keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple, silly.
But, yeah, it's...
call the guy stupid.
Athletes these days, Gen Z. Keep it simple there, silly.
Yep.
So, I go back and forth. I go into the week saying... and go into the game on Sunday saying, we're going to manage it. We're going to focus on running the football, and we're going to focus on this handful of plays that you like. I'm on board with all of that. But if he's out there checking boxes, and he's out there exceeding expectations, or things are going better on offense, you shouldn't be afraid to open it up, let it rip. If you fall behind, you're going to have to do that.
Yep.
You shouldn't be afraid to do that. The more he can handle, and I'd start with that on Sunday, the more he can handle, the more you can continue to put on his plate. So I would go in with a vanilla approach, a lot of running, plays that he likes when he's going to drop back and throw it. But once he proves he can do that, you can start piling more and more on, and they should have that ready to go in game one, week one against Houston.
It's also another reason he should have started week one, because then now by week five, there's more plays in the in the book and everything else. Because I think Bill O'Brien is spot on with this, and you can be like, oh, well, the offense sucked last year, but he's not a miracle worker. He was working with Mac Jones and with Bailey Zappi. So, like, what did you want him to do? When he was coaching Deshaun Watson had some really, really, really good years in Houston. I mean, he became a top five quarterback in Houston, and he played, I forget what week he ended up starting.
I want to say he played like week two or three. It was not week one, but it was very early.
And he was really good, right? So I think, you know, he has at least some experience there, and it makes all the sense in the world. Find out what Drick May does well. Emphasize those things, but also as a quarterback in the league, kind of he just needs to be comfortable. Drake May does with the whole, I think, to steal his word, operation, right? Like, what is everybody doing? You don't want to be out there lost or second guessing things or like not knowing the coverages and things like that. It is another reason why not having David Andrews is going to be, I think, a pretty key factor. Like, how confident are you in Nick Leverett identifying every single defensive, you know, blitz pickup and all that other stuff? Like, I feel like if you have a veteran team captain out there, it helps. But, you know, there is no perfect situation. Once again, this is the hand you've been dealt. This is the offensive line. This is the shape of the offensive line that it is in now. And you're going to have to make the most of it. But, yeah, I think oversimplify and, you know, kind of stick with some key plays. That's the easiest thing to do.
I think he started week two. I think similar to Josh Allen, he got in at the end of the game week one. He replaced Tom Savage. Maybe for injury, I don't know. And then he started week two against the Bengals and started from that point forward until he got hurt. And again, this is a young Deshaun Watson. And we're only bringing that up because of Bill O'Brien, and that's who he managed early on.
He was awesome, and then he got hurt, right?
He was incredible his rookie year, and he was really good in that early stretch in Houston. His rookie year was 2017.
He played seven games, and he had 19 touchdowns, eight picks.
Remember? It was the year that the Patriots went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Eagles, and Brandon Cooks was here in his first year. He went like toe-to-toe with Brady.
He did.
In one of those games early
on. That was his second career start.
Yeah.
He threw for 301, two touchdowns, did throw two picks, but they lost by three.
Yeah. Brady. And I think the Patriots needed a drive late to win that game, if memory serves. So the next year, 2018, Watson's second year, that was a year where the Houston Texans gave up a pressure rate at one of the highest that ESPN has tracked. Okay, so the Patriots right now, I said this the other day, entering Sunday, Reese had this in his Sunday notes, the Patriots are giving up pressure on 46% of the snaps. That is the highest rate, or was among the highest rates going back since ESPN began conducting research. The only teams with a higher rate, the 2018 Texans with Watson and Bill O'Brien, 2014 Seattle that went to a Super Bowl, and the 2022 Bears. All of them had young mobile quarterbacks. The Texans that year won 11 games.
Yeah, he threw for over 4,100 yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 picks as a Pro Bowler.
So, like, the idea that you have and give up a lot of pressure and you're not necessarily protecting your young quarterback and the quarterback's just screwed, wrong. Deshaun Watson disproved that. A young Russell Wilson disproved that. Justin Fields with the Bears, not so much. But those are the other quarterbacks on that list, and Drake May can join that.
It's crazy how good he was and how bad he is. Watson's not even 30.
Yeah,
and he
bad
sucks.
On the field, bad off the field.
I mean,
terrible
karma,
all the way around.
Whatever you want.
I mean, it's just but he was like
incredible.
The way we're talking about C.J. Stroud now.
Yeah,
not that stylistically they're exactly the
Watson
same.
Was better. Watson to me was a no doubt. His last year in Houston, even though the team sucked, he had two good years record-wise, then a bad year, but statistically he was great. He was a top five quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And now he is a bottom five, maybe bottom, right. maybe the dead last
the
quarterback.
Browns are idiots, but there's a reason he has a fully guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
Because he was that highly thought of. And it just,
crazy.
You know,
yeah, he stinks.
The shine came off quickly.
Uh-huh.
617-779-7937. We can get to all your feedback here. Let's get back into your expectations for Drake May and start number one against the Houston Texans on Sunday. We'll do that next.